spoke through his prophets of a coming king and redeemer of Israel. This promised one would come through the seed of Abraham and lineage of King David. God spoke to Abraham, saying, "In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." God then said to King David, "Your seed will I make to endure forever, and your throne as the days of heaven." This promised one would be our Messiah, Savior, the King of righteousness, the Son of God.
Centuries passed as Israel long awaited their coming king. Men of God anticipated his arrival. They looked to the Holy Scriptures for the prophecies revealing signs of his coming. They could only trust in the promises of God, promises that the Messiah, who had been foretold throughout the centuries, would one day come. He would redeem Israel and bring hope to a lost world.
This was the cry of God's people throughout the ages. O come, come, Emmanuel. Come and rescue us from our oppressors. Come and bring deliverance from our bondage and peace to our longing hearts.
Finally, the fullness of time had come. The word spoken by the prophets was fulfilled when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Gabriel spoke to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You will conceive and bring forth a son. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest."
God's message through Gabriel fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that a virgin would give birth to the promised child, the Messiah, our Emmanuel.
Appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
Joseph did as the angel said and took Mary to be his wife. Then they traveled to the city of David, called Bethlehem, to register for the tax, as Caesar Augustus commanded. Upon their arrival in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph discovered there was no place for them to stay. As a last resort, they took repose in a stable with the animals. It was there in Bethlehem where Mary delivered the child of the promise, fulfilling the words of Micah the prophet, saying, "Bethlehem, out of you shall come the one who will be ruler over Israel." And so they named the baby Jesus, just as the angel commanded.
Wonderful Counselor, he's made.
Mary wrapped her newborn son in soft cloths and laid him in a feeding trough. However, that lowly manger did not diminish his reception. His arrival stirred the heavens and rallied the angels to sing, "Glory to God in the highest." They marveled at what God had done. The Savior of humanity had now arrived. Son of God, Son of Man, Love incarnate, Love divine, Light of the world, given for us.
Bow to
That same night, there were shepherds in a nearby field, watching over their flocks, when an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord lit up the sky. The angel spoke and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Suddenly there was a heavenly host of angels praising and glorifying God. So the shepherds hurried to Bethlehem to see what was made known to them, and found the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just like the angel said. The shepherds made widely known all that was told to them concerning the child, and all that heard of it marveled at those things.
In the days of Herod the king, three wise men trekked from the east to Jerusalem in search of the newborn king. They had studied the scriptures and had seen his star in the east, and they came to worship him. When they saw the star rest over the place where the child was, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Then they came into the house and saw the child with his mother. They presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and fell down and worshiped him.
At last, 400 years of silence had been broken. That silent, holy night, unnoticed by most of the world, became the greatest demonstration of God's love known to man. Darkness fell, and the light of the world was born. And so it was fulfilled that he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Something about the Christmas story that just makes you want to sing, doesn't it? Amen? Anybody? Amen? Okay. I can tell we got most of the ameners in the choir behind me, which is okay. Well, praise the Lord. The choir has been singing songs of praise to God for this amazing story and everything he's done for us, and we praise his name. We're going to take a few minutes. The choir has a couple more songs to do, but before they do that, I just want to share you with you briefly this morning from God's Word. There was a lady named Mary in the Bible. You've probably heard of her. She was the one that Gabriel came to and said, you know, you're going to give birth to a son. He's going to be the Son of God, a miracle birth. And after Mary went and saw Elizabeth, her relative, who was pregnant unexpectedly, and it was a miracle for her, she praised God for what he was doing and praised God for who he was. And we find it in Luke chapter 1. So I'm going to invite you to turn there to Luke chapter 1. It's Mary's song. It's called the Magnificat, or Mary's song. Luke 1:46 through 55. And we're going to take a brief look at this great song, Stand. And let's sing it together. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know the tune, but it'd be fun to. It says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word, this wonderful song that you inspired Mary to write. And we just pray that as we take a few moments, you'll speak to us about what this song's about. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. In this song of Mary, we see a picture of who God is, that he's worthy of our praise, worthy of us to worship him. And it's interesting because pretty much everything that's in here has been in the cantata songs that we've been singing this morning. This wonderful message, who God is, this great God that we worship. So let's take a few moments and look at this first. We see that we worship God, who is the powerful ruler. Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord. And the word Lord is a word that means the powerful ruler. The powerful ruler has come to earth. You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, most people thought, no big deal. Just a baby born in Bethlehem. That happens all the time, right? This was a big deal. From heaven's perspective, it is the Lord God Almighty, the powerful ruler coming to earth to become one of us, to enter into our world. It was a powerful event. As the book of Revelation says, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, and he will rule forever, reign forever and ever. The wise men came, and we heard the song about the wise men a couple minutes ago, came in search of a future king. Jesus came to rule, to be the ruler, and most importantly, to rule in our hearts, to be our King, our Lord, our Savior. We worship God who is our Savior. Mary says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary realized she needed a Savior. A Savior saves us, right? Saves us from destruction, gives us hope, gives us safety. And Mary realized she needs a Savior. The prophet Zephaniah, many years ago, prophesied, says, the Lord God is with you. He is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. This baby that is growing inside of Mary when she writes this song will be the Son of God, will be her Savior. I know this picture is hard to look at, but the same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem as a little baby that Mary loved and took care of is the same Jesus who a few miles away from Bethlehem will give his life to be our Savior and will die on a cross for the sins of the world. Mary will be there both times, when Jesus was born and when he died. He came to be our Savior. Notice that Mary says, she praises God, my Savior. Jesus is the Savior of the world, but we need to make sure he's our Savior, that he's your Savior, that you can say he's my Savior. And we do that through confession of our sins, repenting of our sins, and placing our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on a cross. And we can be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. And then we can say, Jesus is my Savior. Amen for that. We worship a God who thinks of us. Mary says, you've been mindful of the humble state of your servant. God thought of Mary, and Mary's amazed that God thought of her. The amazing, all-powerful God thought of this young, humble woman named Mary in Nazareth. We're in God's thoughts. God thinks of you. You know, when he sent Jesus, his son, to this earth, he was thinking of you. Not just you, but he was thinking of you, all of us, right? It's a God who thinks of us. That's why he's done what he's done for us. God revealed himself to Moses in the Old Testament, says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. His compassion is evidence that he's thinking of us. His grace is evidence that he's thinking of us. We have a God who thinks of us. We praise him. We worship him. We worship a God who blesses us. Mary considers herself to be greatly blessed. She'll be the mother of the Messiah. She will get to raise Jesus. She'll get to see all the things he does. She'll get to hear his words of truth, and she'll get to see the miracles. She'll be greatly blessed, but also she will go through times of suffering. She'll see Jesus rejected and beaten and tortured and killed on a cross and buried in a tomb. But she's still blessed because she'll see him raised from the dead, alive and well, the Lord and Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords. She realizes she is greatly blessed. And because she's greatly blessed, we are greatly blessed because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. The scripture says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." We are blessed, and we worship the God who blesses us. We worship the God who is the Mighty One. Mary calls God the Mighty One. The Mighty One is an Old Testament name for God. It's the name that Jesus used of God when he was being questioned by the high priest the night before he died. He said, "You're going to see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Mighty One in heaven." It's a name for God. We worship God who is the Mighty One. And the amazing story of Christmas is this Mighty One, the Mighty God. The psalmist says the Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons earth. This Mighty One came to earth and became one of us to rescue us, to be our Savior. He's the Mighty One. Mary experienced God as the Mighty One doing miracles in her life and the life of Elizabeth. And God does great things because he is the Mighty One. We worship God who is the Holy One. Mary was told by Gabriel that the son you're going to give birth to will be holy. And in this song, she praises God as being holy. He is holy. The angels in heaven sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." God entered the world, a very unholy world, as a holy God, knowing that people would reject him, that people would persecute him, that people would mock him, that people would kill him on a cross, but he still came. Holy God to an unholy world. And in his holiness, he comes to an unholy world and offers his embrace of love, holy embracing the unholy, but not to leave us unholy, but to change us, to transform us so that we can be holy as he is holy. We worship God, the Holy One. We worship God who is, Psalm 99 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." We worship God who is the merciful one too. Mary says his mercy extends to all who fear him. In thinking of God sending his son to earth, that's an act of mercy. We don't deserve it, it's an act of mercy. Jesus dying on the cross is an act of mercy. We don't deserve it. Mercy is God's compassion in action. And when we receive his mercy, we get the result, which is forgiveness offered to us by God. We worship God who lifts up the humble. Mary was a humble young woman, and she says, "God, you lift up the humble, but you put down the proud." Proud are those that don't feel like they need God. They're self-sufficient. They're on their own. They don't need God. But Mary says, "You lift up the humble." Humble are those that realize their need for God and come to him and ask for his help. God lifts up the humble and he recognizes the humble. James says, "Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up." We worship God who gives us good things. Mary says that he has filled the hungry with good things. Mary seems to understand that God is the giver of every good gift, and the most important gift that we have is Jesus. He's the one that alone satisfies the deepest needs of our heart. There's nothing that this world can offer that can take the place of Jesus in your life. Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus, is the secret to having true satisfaction in your heart. True joy, true peace, real life comes from Jesus. You can't find it anyplace else. He is the good gift that comes from God. He didn't just send the gift, he came to be the gift in Jesus. and we worship God who keeps his promises. Mary knew that God kept his promises. You've been faithful to your promise, your word. You kept your word to Elizabeth. You're keeping your word to me. You kept your word through all the promises. She even mentions Israel. You've been faithful to remember Israel. And that still goes on today. The only reason the modern day country of Israel exists today is because of the promises of God. Because of the promises of God. He is faithful to keep his promises. Jesus came to be our Messiah. The Lord is faithful to the promises. Psalm 145 says the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. May we be like Mary and say, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we praise you today. Along with Mary and her great song, you are the God who is the powerful ruler. You are the God who is our Savior. You are the God who thinks of us. You're the God who blesses us. You're the God who is the mighty one. You're the God who is the holy one. You're the God who is the merciful one. You're the God that lifts up the humble. You're the God that gives us good things. You're the God that keeps his promises. We praise your name. Father, in coming to earth, you came to rule in the hearts, in our hearts as our King, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you went to the cross, died for our sins to be our Savior, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you proved that you thought of us, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you have greatly blessed us, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you, the mighty one, have done great things for us, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you have touched us with your holiness and transformed us, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you have demonstrated your mercy, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you have lifted up the humble, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you have given us the most precious gift, eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, and we thank you. In coming to earth, you show that you're faithful to keep all your promises, and we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.